Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
With schools back since September, many parents are being asked to pay voluntary school contributions, and for some parents, the payments don't feel very voluntary at all. So why do schools feel they must ask parents to contribute to the running costs? And will we ever get to a point where parents are not asked to pay? Well, Brian O'Connell has been looking at all of this for us. Hello, Brian.
Morning, Claire.
Now, the Minister for Education was very clear on these payments previously.
Well, last year, Education Minister Norma Foley warned schools about these payments. She advised that parents don't have to pay if they can't afford them. No parent or guardian can be compelled to pay a voluntary contribution, she said. So as you said, many parents feel under pressure this time every year, Claire, to pay primary or secondary school contributions. And we have been hearing from listeners in recent weeks around this.
And you've one listener who broke the contributions down for you. So take us through it.
Well, just to give you a breakdown. So this listener was asked to pay Board of Management fees, €86 per child, Parents Association fee, €15, swimming, €60. A total of just over €160 per child. And they were given a deadline, if you like, of a week to pay. That swimming fee had increased from €10. It was gone up to €60. The Parents Association fee pre-COVID was just €2 for a bake sale. That's now €15. So you can see a trend. And she was saying if you didn't pay, you got an email from the school reminding you to pay, even if it was a day late. She also has secondary and third level fees to pay. So she knows of families, she was saying, paying well over, you know, several hundred euro in recent weeks. Last night, I went into Cork City Centre and I asked some people, Claire, what they thought of voluntary contributions.
It's a disgrace for the simple reason. I mean, I was involved in the school for years and we as parents had to do it, and it's the same people all the time.
Fundraising.
Even a fundraising, it's the parents, you know. We have to pay for toilet rolls, for this, for that. I think it's a disgrace, really, no matter what it's for.
The schools would argue if they got more money from the government, they wouldn't have to ask parents all the time.
True. It's back on the taxpayers, I suppose, all the time, you know. And where is the money gone? But then they have enough money to do their own things, their bicycle sheds, and that's our money that they're spending that on, like, do you know what I mean?
It's okay to be asked, and I think it's okay for families to contribute, and where they don't contribute, I don't think there should be any reminder letter or anything like that sent.
I suppose that is the argument from some families I've spoken to.
Yeah.
They feel pressure.
Okay, so the school that we go to, there is absolutely no pressure. So you're asked, and then it's a private matter for each family.
You feel the contribution is quite reasonable?
Yeah, it is. I mean, they have a sibling kind of, they take a siblings into consideration and stuff. I probably would have a different attitude if they were sent out strongly worded emails and letters.
I know the schools are running, you know, the budget they get isn't sufficient to run the school and to provide what the children need. I think, you know, most parents try their best to help out the school when they can. If you can afford to give money to the school, you probably should.
I think they've been asked to pay a lot, you know, so I think that it should be scrapped. I mean, trying to put your child through school to get uniforms and everything else is bad enough without having these pressures as well, you know.
And people want to try and help the school, so that's where maybe the pressure would come from to try and come up with the money.
That's what I'm saying. They do, of course, but I mean, as you say, we're supposed to have free education and they should help the people then, the vulnerable people that don't have the money to pay for these things, you know. So
is it all back on the government? Give more to the schools?
I think so, yes, yeah. Yes.
That's people in Cork City speaking to you last night, Brian. Now, it's something that the St Vincent de Paul also have concerns about.
Well, last year, the charity issued a report on this. They found some parents could be paying up to €550 in voluntary contributions. The average was about €140 that parents were paying. It presents a particular issue for families in lower socioeconomic brackets, especially given the cost of living increases. I spoke with Nesson Vaughan, who's chair of the National Social Justice Committee. This is some of what he had to say about voluntary contributions.
It is impacting very much on many of the families that we are seeking to help, and indeed that we do help. They often have different names, but effectively they're voluntary contributions. It might be contributions for stationery and costs around, particularly around maybe transition year or registration fees. So people we help, of course, by definition are struggling. A contribution, a voluntary contribution, and they range from the lowest we've seen is 30 euro to 550. It's still a significant amount of money for someone on very low income. And what we find is, and from a survey we've done, that 87% said that they cut back on spending on something else or delay spending on something maybe quite important in order to make that contribution and not have their child embarrassed.
Because even though it says voluntary, parents feel the pressure.
Parents certainly do feel the pressure. They're conscious that their child, you don't want their child being fingered out or even being looked at differently if they're not in a position to help. So they tend to make that contribution, Brian. But that can mean they cut back on food, they cut back on clothing, they cut back on heating, they delay paying their rent.
And I know after COVID, the Department of Education provided additional funding to schools. I mean, we seem to be back up to levels pre-COVID now where people are being asked for contributions.
Yeah. And in our pre-budget submission, I mean, we said really to fund schools properly and fully so that they don't have to come and ask for things like contributions and to increase the capitation fee. And we asked that it should be increased to 422 euro per student. What we can see is it's an issue of the adequacy of funding of schools or the inadequacy of funding of schools. And we don't particularly blame the schools. We know they're struggling.
I suppose the worry is now that this pattern has been established of asking parents for voluntary contributions every year. Even if funding was increased to schools, perhaps they'd still be asking.
We'd be confident that in the vast majority of cases, if they're adequately funded, they wouldn't be asking for voluntary contributions.
Now, listeners getting in touch, Brian, we have one saying our voluntary contribution for this coming school year is 300 euro. Another one, voluntary contribution of 250 for our national school, plus a 70 euro compulsory swimming lesson fee and a 50 euro art fee. Multiple reminders to pay the voluntary contributions, and it's 250 per family, regardless if you have four children or one in the school. So it's clearly posing a problem for families. So have you been able to find out why it is that schools still need to ask parents for this money?
Well, that's a very good question. We know, for example, recently the capitation grant increased by almost 25 euro per primary student and just over 40 euro per secondary student. They kick in from next September. So that's in a bid to obviously assist with running costs. It was on top of some 45 million euro in cost of living supports for schools. We know the free book scheme has been extended to second level as well. Despite this, one of the largest teaching unions, the ASTI, they say our funding for education is still at the bottom of 34 countries, which were surveyed in a recent OECD report. They say schools have very little choice, but they have to ask parents to try and fund this gap, particularly given the scale of rising costs. I spoke to ASTI President Donald Cremin. This is some of what he had to say.
Look, we know there's a funding crisis in the educational system. I'm not blaming Norma Foley here, but rather the Department of Public Expenditure, who are failing to release funds to adequately fund the educational system. And the 2024 report, the OECD report on education at a glance, indicates that we are in last place for funding of 34 countries.
Why are schools having to ask for contributions then?
Costs have gone up. So take, for example, things like art supplies, wood for wood construction, and it's causing major problems for the educational at school level.
Do you think, Donal, it's accepted these are voluntary, that like no family should be compelled to pay a contribution?
Well, according to the Education Act, there's no fees anymore, okay? So, yeah, but you can collect contributions. In a lot of cases, I know principals who, look, they just can't collect off of certain people, and they make do with whatever they have, and they try and ration it out and try and get the best value they possibly can. I can guarantee you they're not spending money foolishly.
But I suppose if we look at the health services, there are funding shortfalls in the health service. But when you present for treatment at the ED, you're not being asked for voluntary contributions. I suppose people are just wondering, why is it that it's the parents that are the go-to in terms of making up this shortfall?
Yeah, but look, we are in negotiations with DEEPER. Austerity has gone. Our country has money. We're not asking for a massive amount of money, small investment. I mean, if you increased the capitation grant from 320 to 400, it would solve an amount of problems.
So if that happened, the voluntary contributions are gone?
Well, I would say there'd be less need of many schools for those. I mean, parents probably want more and more things for their pupils, and that's understandable. We all wanted more for our own children, things that we didn't have ourselves. But I think that at the moment, they have nearly doubled their voluntary contributions. But I can see how that's happening, because if you take a bus for a match, or if you take the bus for swimming, and I mean, the minister wants people to swim and she wants them to enjoy their sports. Let's open those purse strings just slightly, put a little bit more investment in, get us off the bottom of the ladder from 34, bring us up a couple of points every year, and we will be on the average of the OECD. And I think we'll have a far better system.
That's the ASTI president, Donal Cramin. And Donal was saying there that there are some parents, and the principals will know those parents can't pay. But we have a lot of people texting us saying that unless the fee is paid, the voluntary fee, their children won't get a locker. They won't get access codes for their iPad, or they won't get a school diary unless it's paid, which means that that child ultimately will be singled out. I have another message here from a listener who says that schools are asking parents to pay for copybooks, hardbacks, book rental. This is despite the fact that these are all essential items that should be covered by the free book scheme for primary schools, and they want to know how can schools ask parents to pay for these items. Now, Brian, you have been in touch with the Department of Public Expenditure about this.
Yes, and they told me my question should be directed to the Department of Education, because essentially it's a matter for the Minister for Education as to how spending is prioritised. So I knocked on the door of the Department of Education. I asked them a couple of questions around this. They said schools may request a voluntary contribution. It should be made very clear to parents there's no requirement to pay this cost. And then they pointed to a whole range of measures recently in terms of budget increases. So the capitation grants we've mentioned already have increased for primary and secondary, an additional €45 million in cost of living supports. And they said spending in education per pupil has increased from 2018 up to 2022 by about €2,000 per pupil. So then on that report, that OECD report, which had us at the bottom of a list of 34 countries in terms of funding, the Department of Education actually takes issue with some of the ways the data is being used and is being measured. And they say GDP, which is what's used in that OECD report, has been shown to be an ineffective measure per capita spending on education. So they would look at different types of parameters, and they say in terms of the data they're looking at that we are slightly higher than the OECD average.
Brian, thank you very much. That's our reporter, Brian O'Connell. A reminder that David Coleman will be with us before the end of the programme taking your questions on parenting. Still time to get in touch. The WhatsApp number is 0870 32 32 32. Up next, though, with the British Labour Party set to announce a new policy to attract foreign investment, we're going to discuss what it could mean for Ireland.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.